Hello and welcome to this episode of the Money Speak podcast. Today you're joined by me, Rob Templeton, the marketing assistant and host of this podcast, and William Cook, who is a solicitor in the dispute resolution team at Money Speak. And I understand you're the person to talk to about boundary disputes, which is what we're going to do today.
I am indeed, Rob. Yes, I am indeed.
Great. At least we're speaking to the right person. So then, how do we know who owns which boundary?
Okay, so I think the starting point in determining ownership of a boundary really is to look at the what we would call the office copy entries. Those are available to any layperson on the gov.uk website. You sometimes see the sort of pertinent point referred to as the title register. You'll look onto that. There sometimes is attached to that a plan, or a title plan as we would call it. And you'll see on that potentially some letter T's. On the boundary. Some people famously know what they are, some people do not, but it's generally seen in some title plans anyway, that on the boundary that is owned by your property, you'll see a letter T, which means that you have ownership of it.
Great, well, glad to hear I'm learning a lot already because I know nothing about boundary disputes, which is good. So how do I find out then where the boundary line is between mine and my neighbour's property lines?
Sure, so a difficult question really in practice. It can be hard. I mean, often we see cases whereby neighbours have moved the boundary, sometimes slightly, sometimes quite drastically. But a good starting point again is to look really at documents. Some people are aware of what we would call conveyances. Those are the sort of old documents that you get at the time that you buy a house, often written by a typewriter, but they'll be headed conveyance. And again, attached to those generally is a plan. So you can look at those. Often they'll give you a plan as to what the accurate drawing was at the time at which the property was either initially registered or sometimes even built. A good idea in practice as well is to actually obtain the same if you can for the neighbouring property as well and just compare the two. Sometimes, as I say, they can be relied on as a good primary source of evidence as to where the line lies. If that doesn't work, or if there's some dispute in that, then a good step after that is to instruct a surveyor. Sometimes that can be done on a joint basis or on an individual basis if your neighbour can't agree with that, and they can then prepare a drawing based on the terrain of the land and the evidence that they find and the physical features as to where they believe that a boundary line might be.
Great, thanks for that explanation there. Do I need to instruct an expert then, such as yourself, to determine the boundary?
So it's always a good idea, and as solicitors, that's something that we would encourage. With that said, I mean, if someone was struggling with cost and didn't want to perhaps approach a solicitor, they can speak with their neighbour amicably, see if there can be an agreement worked out as to where the boundary position would be. But we would always advise, really, if that is the case, that you enter into a formal boundary agreement that can then be sent to the Land Registry and registered with your property and that of your neighbour. And again, it's always good to seek legal advice, perhaps for the drafting and preparation of that, or at least just a review of the document before it is sent off and signed.
Great. What is adverse possession then?
So adverse possession, again, an interesting one that some people perhaps aren't aware of. Adverse possession is a legal principle whereby someone that has possession of land that doesn't belong to them can be applied for. And by applied for, I mean that they can take ownership of it. There's certain criteria if you are looking to assert adverse possession over a piece of land, and those differ between whether the parcel of land is unregistered or if it's registered. So the possession, which I will say needs to be uncontinued, is a period of 10 years for an unregistered piece of land and a period of 12 years for a registered piece of land. And then on that basis, if you can prove exclusive possession, and that you've had control over the land as well, you could potentially make a claim within the court for adverse possession. And if successful, of course, the land would be transferred into your name.
Great. You might be able to help me personally with the next one then. So I need access to my neighbour's property to repair a fence that's now broken, but my neighbour won't allow me to do so. So what could I do? Would you have any advice?
Sure. So I think, as is a starting point with quite a number of things in terms of boundary disputes, the best thing is to just amicably speak with your neighbour and see if access can be agreed. Obviously, the basis of this question is that your neighbour will not permit you to do that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the main problem there.
So I think, obviously, if that can't be done, then it's a potential to seek legal advice. Ultimately, if nothing can be worked out amicably between the solicitors instructed on behalf of the parties, then you can make an order for access of the land, which is under an act, which is aptly called the Access to Neighbouring Land Act, which affords you basic preservation to only your own property. So if you need to do that, then there is recourse within the courts that you can seek.
Cool, I'll look into that then. What does rights of way mean?
So a right of way is quite a broad term, but I suppose in short, it's really a right that's granted to perhaps an owner of a property or someone within the vicinity of the property to pass along a specific route through a piece of property that belongs to another person. You often see this with sort of public land or access ways or land whereby you'd need to pass through somebody else's in order to access your own.
Great. As like the last question then, so my neighbour has actually removed the boundary fence. Can I do anything about that?
If you can't move, Rob, I think your neighbour doesn't sound yeah, the best.
I mean, selling's a bit expensive, but I was hoping to get a way around it.
Well, I'm sure we can help. So I think in that sort of situation, I think the first thing to do is actually to photograph the boundary fence, the removal of that, just so you have some evidence, and maybe that's my sort of day job coming into that a bit. Again, I think that the first step really is perhaps consult your neighbours, see why they've done that. They may have taken it out for repairs or maybe to cut something back. So it may just be a sort of brief thing that you can sort of aptly discuss with them. And it's something that can be worked out pretty quickly. I think if it proves that your neighbour's perhaps taken it out to be difficult, if you like, or has some intention
I'm not commenting on that.
Has some intention to remove or replace the boundary fence and you're not happy with that, then again, I suppose we refer back to the first point, which is that you check if you own the boundary or if you're responsible for that. If you are, then perhaps worth writing to your neighbour or seeking a solicitor to write to your neighbour to make your neighbour aware of that. Maybe they don't know. And again, if they don't, perhaps then reinstate the boundary as it was, then formal action can potentially be taken to have them restore the boundary to it as it was or as it should have been. And ultimately, there is recourse by way of applying to the court for an injunction if that so happens. But that's quite a drastic step and it comes with its own consequences.
Trying to avoid the...
as you can imagine. That.
Cool. I know you've already touched on this then, but what are the different ways that a boundary dispute can be resolved?
Sure. So again, I think as the pattern's been here, the first thing really is to approach your neighbour and amicably resolve it. And again, the advice being that if you can do that and it's potentially a dispute that could re-arise, then it's always good to enter into a boundary agreement, which just is a written agreement off the terms agreed, sometimes accompanied by a plan as well. Other than that, I mean, as I say, you can potentially look to agree with your neighbour to appoint a joint boundary surveyor, sometimes called a single joint expert. And that generally proceeds on the basis that both parties will agree to whatever outcome the surveyor will reach. So if there's a drawing and there's a dispute over where the boundary may be, then the surveyor returns with a report and a drawing, and then the boundary will be moved or will stay as it is, if of course the surveyor agrees with the position as it is currently. Otherwise, I mean, you can instruct your own surveyor, if your neighbour won't agree to that, to produce a plan or a drawing. And then you may wish to proceed to court for a potential encroachment claim. Or you can actually apply to the land registry under what's called a determined boundary application. Your neighbour will get a chance to respond to that. But ultimately, the land registry can refer that to the lands tribunal, who will make their own determination as to whether the location should be moved in accordance with the drawing. And that would thereafter be registered against your property and that of your neighbour.
Sounds good. So for people that don't know then, what height should your neighbour's fence or wall be? And what can you do if it is too high?
I think that the general rule is that it's 2 metres high from ground level. That said, I mean, some properties have what we would call covenants on the land, whereby the fence is restricted to be by or between a certain height. Generally, that can be seen with older properties, some that are listed that...
I suppose there's different covenants on that depending on the
exactly. Type of... So, I mean, we often see that it's sort of between two different points. So it may be sort of 2.5 feet to 5.5 feet. So it can depend on the property. It's always good to check that out. But the general rule, as I say, if there is nothing and in the absence of anything else, is 2 metres from ground level, failing which, if you want to erect a higher fence, you would need to apply for planning permission.
Great. Thanks for that information then, William. Is there a time limit to boundary disputes that you can claim?
So no. I mean, the default rule is there's not. I suppose the only time limits really are those that we mentioned in terms of the adverse possession rule set. So you're 10 years exclusive possession and control of the land if it's unregistered, 12 years if it's registered, and you can also qualify for some prescriptive rights, as we would call them, if you had 20 years possession of the land.
Great. Can I sell my house with a boundary dispute ongoing then?
You can. See, Rob, I told you you'd get to selling it in the end.
I'm just asking as a question at this moment in time, but if it comes to that, then you never know, do you?
Sure.
I'd like to be in the know just in case.
Good to cover all bases. Yes, I mean, the answer simply is that you can, with the caveat that at the time at which the property is sold, the seller of the property will have to complete what's called a property information form, sometimes referred to as a TA6. And with that, there are certain questions within there that would be declared by the seller of a land that's then passed on to the buyer. One of the questions is whether indeed there has been a dispute over the land. Therefore, if there was one ongoing or there had been one in the past, you would have to declare that under or on the property information
form. Would the new person inherit that, or would you settle it as if you were selling it, would you settle the boundary?
Well, no, I mean, ultimately, so that would... The property information form you would provide before you exchange contracts. So they would be taking on the contract for purchase of the property with that known. So they would effectively come into the shoes of the existing party.
Fine.
So, yes, the answer is you can, but obviously the buyer would become aware of that. If you fail to declare it, you're effectively in breach of contract, and the buyer can seek damages against you for anything consequential there. So yes, but of course it rarely is seen. I mean, people, as you can expect, aren't happy to buy a property.
No, yeah, I can imagine.
Whereby there's an ongoing dispute that they maybe don't know an awful lot about. So I think, yes, it's always good to make sure that any disputes are covered before the time that the sale happens.
Great. Thank you very much, William, for joining the podcast on boundary disputes. Some very good information there. If you've enjoyed this podcast, more are available on our Spotify channel, or more videos for more information are available on our website.